Hallo, liebe WIMAF-Zuhörer. Schön, dass ihr auch dieses Mal wieder dabei seid, einer weiteren Episode unseres kleinen, feinen und erst jüngst zu Deutschlands bestem Podcast gewählten Podcast. Wir sind ja gewählt worden zum besten Podcast Deutschlands.
Von meiner Mutter oder was?
Von deiner Mutter und okay. Der Cinema in Zusammenarbeit
mit Burger King.
Burger King und der Brigitte. Und Deutschlands bester Podcast muss natürlich, wir können nicht stehen bleiben. Wir müssen uns ständig neu erfinden, wir müssen uns erneuern, wir müssen an die Grenzen des Machbaren gehen, wir müssen die Limits pushen, wo es nur geht. Und deswegen gibt es natürlich auch heute wieder etwas ganz Besonderes in unserer Episode. Aber erstmal das Besonderste, was es zwar in jeder Episode gibt, aber deswegen nicht weniger das Besonderste der Welt bleibt, nämlich meine großartige Partnerin Maria Lorenz.
Hi.
Hallo Maria, wie geht's?
Gut.
Gut, das reicht mir auch vollkommen. Und jetzt wollt ihr natürlich wissen, was gibt es an der Episode heute Besonderes? Nicht nur den Film, über den wir heute reden möchten, nämlich Running Man mit Arnold Schwarzenegger, eine Stephen King-Verfilmung, dazu gleich mehr. Aber unsere Gäste heute, wir gucken ja hier nicht alleine, denn alleine gucken macht blöd, aber wir haben heute ganz tolle Gäste und es ist mal wieder Couple Night hier bei uns im Podcast.
Couple Morning,
denn bei uns sind Fine und Jeff aus L.A., Freunde des Hauses, vielleicht begrüßt ihr einfach erstmal die Leute, say hello to the listeners.
Hello.
Hallo.
So, und Fine ist eine alte Freundin von Maria, ist dann irgendwann nach L.A. gegangen, hat da Jeff kennengelernt, also sich verliebt erst, ihn erst kennengelernt, sich dann verliebt, so rum, und die beiden haben geheiratet und sind jetzt hier bei uns gerade zu Besuch und zu Gast und deswegen, weil das ja unfair ist, wenn drei Leute am Tisch eine Sprache verstehen und einer nicht, wird die ganze Episode, und jetzt haltet euch fest, Leute, das würde ich aus den Socken hauen, die ganze Episode heute auf Serbo-Kroatisch.
Wow, die
Serbo-Kroatisch
Pause.
Serbo-Kroatisch gibt's
ne?
Überhaupt nicht.
Comedy, Timing ist alles.
Auf Englisch. Yeah. The whole episode in English today. Because
sorry.
Of you, Jeff.
Yeah, because of you.
Sorry.
Yeah. You're not sorry.
So,
it's fine.
Get out your English. School English.
Yeah, get it out.
Colin goes to school.
We'll wait for you.
Yeah, yeah.
My pick whistles.
Yeah, get and out your dictionary. Oh, we should have a dictionary here. I was just, yesterday, as I was watching the film, there were so many words that I had to look up.
For example,
Vorspann. What is Vorspann in it?
Credits.
Opening credits.
Opening credits.
You know what word I wanted to look up actually was... Low forehead.
Low forehead.
Arnold says that as
kleine
a
kleine Stirn, oder? Nee,
low forehead.
He says
forehead?
That to somebody. He's like, oh, there's so many low foreheads here. And
really?
I was like,
I don't even know what
I said. Did he say low foreheads? We rewinded it, put it on the subtitles, yeah. And he says low forehead, but I forgot to look it up afterwards.
But it's uh-huh. It must not like loafer. Maybe he meant loafer heads.
No, but no. When he had the subtitles on,
it said low foreheads.
Yeah,
forehead.
But also the subtitles are sometimes
that's true.
Like.
That's true. They
wrong.
Get it wrong. Yeah.
The subtitles are not always right, Maria.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
So
but
that is
okay.
Our challenge to the listener. Yeah. Look up low foreheads.
Low foreheads. Yeah. It's probably some kind of a. Did he mean it in a bad way?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, oh, okay. It was derogatory.
So maybe it's like just stupid. Just some.
Maybe the
kind
forehead
of
is where the chin should be.
Imagine just. Just like 20 seconds for all of you to imagine that.
So I watched the movie in German.
Yeah, you were the only one. I and watched it in English to prepare my brain to talk about it in
yeah,
English.
I
and
it.
Also my notes are in English.
I watched it in German because I was too lazy. But I retranslated everything I saw.
Yeah.
So I can
you actually
you
did the
English.
Subtitles for
yeah.
The movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what does low forehead mean?
Yeah. So what does low forehead mean?
Yeah, well, in the German original, he said something else. I don't know what he said.
Engstirnig.
Oh, yeah, that could be it. Engstirnig.
No.
Like narrow-minded.
Yeah.
No, but that would be, whatever.
He would have said narrow-minded or not.
I think, low forehead means, if you have a low forehead, there isn't much space for the brain, so that means stupid.
Mm. You know, I'm actually looking it up right now.
Is it Neanderthal?
So that we can move on in about an hour.
Or something. the missing link.
Yeah, right.
So I think we should like give a little bit of an introduction about the premise of the movie.
Yeah, Running Man.
As long as I look full of format up.
Running Man is a movie written by, based on a short story written by Richard Bachman, who is very well known under his second name, Stephen King.
I haven't heard of him.
Who is it?
It's the opposite of highbrow. It's basically stupid people.
Uh-huh.
Urban Dictionary. One who is the opposite of highbrow, a person of low intelligence, a term used by Austrian immigrants to California, such as the member of rock band Arno Cops and actor Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Interesting.
So there's a rock band called Arno Cops?
Yes, and
I want to listen to it immediately.
We have to
write it down.
Stop recording right now.
Yes.
Yeah, Arno Cops.
Arno Cops.
You should play that at the end of the podcast.
Yeah, but the thing is, Arno Cops is obviously based on Arnold Schwarzenegger, but I like that they say them first.
And Austrian immigrants to Hollywood?
Yeah, they all say low forehead.
No, but that's also
a huge community.
But there's also this famous chef in Hollywood, like Wolfgang Puch or Puch or something like that. Yeah, he's also Austrian, isn't he?
So we should ask him.
So maybe he also says that.
But I actually brought a jump scare to LA, so
that's true.
It's true.
I was there when that happened.
Yeah.
So, in that movie, it's where this movie is set in a dystopian future, and ironically, it's now.
Yeah,
because the movie is from the mid '80s, and in that future, the whole world is a television show, crime fighting, and especially. Bestrafung.
Punishment
is a television show.
Yes.
Or several television shows. There's, for example, one which is called Climb the Rope or something like that, where the guys
the dogs.
collect
climbing
dollars.
Climbing for dollars.
Climbing for dollars. They collect dollars and then they climb up a rope with bloodthirsty dogs beneath them. And when he seems to reach the top of the rope, there comes some kind of gas and the people fall down and get probably eaten by the dog. Stuff like that is aired on national television. And one show is like the master show, the one to rule them all, the show everyone watches, even on the streets, even homeless people watch it on huge screens and bet on it and bet on their competitors. And this show is called Running Man. And that show is about criminals who are in jail or just put into jail, and they can get free by winning this show because
allegedly,
because when they make it through the area of that show alive, they are free persons. They are free to go wherever they want.
Yeah.
But in that area are some fighters from
called
the show
stalkers.
Called Stalkers from the show.
I just say that because you watched it in German, and I think they say Jäger, so hunters.
Yeah.
But it's in English they say Stalker.
It's a reminiscence to American Gladiators, a little bit.
And it's the basic for the Hunger Games.
Yeah, also their names. And they chase those criminals. And it means it's not for the money, it's life or death.
Yes.
So
The
stakes are high. So there is this cop who is like he was played by Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he's a good guy. We see him in the very beginning of the movie in a helicopter with his colleagues, and his chiefs or whoever tell them to shoot a group of peaceful protestants.
Yeah,
there's a food riot down there.
Yeah, a food riot.
They just want
just civilians.
They just want their food.
Yeah,
they just want to live. Children. They don't want to starve. They want to live.
Yeah.
And the chiefs of Schwarzenegger tell him to shoot them, and he says no. I won't shoot at unarmed starving people. And they say do it, and he says no. And then a fight starts, and from
super
that
super detailed premise you're giving here, and then he
and from that point on.
He starts a fight in the helicopter.
Yeah.
No one's flying it. He's just beating the shit out of
everyone. The weirdest fist fight in a helicopter.
I also wrote that weird helicopter fight.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Because it's like, at some points, it's so, there's this lack of like
editing skills.
For example, but like how he punches the three of them in the face was boom, boom, boom. Yeah. That's so weird. And then, yeah,
then he almost falls out of the helicopter. Yeah. They're holding him by his legs, deciding whether they should drop him or pull him back in. The helicopter is still flying itself, I guess. Mm-hmm. It is 2017.
Yeah,
it's autopilot.
It's autopilot.
True. I mean, I did not think about that.
It's a very strange fight, especially because as a viewer, you really lose the orientation. It reminds me on Michael Nolan Batman fights, where the camera is just shaking, and when anybody's attempting to punch anyone, the camera starts shaking, and you don't know where you are anymore. And that was
kind of
the first movies who did that. The Running Man.
Just saying.
No, I just hate his fight choreography because there is none.
So it's like shaking the camera like in the early Star Trek.
Right, absolutely.
By the way, I'm jumping ahead now, but this dystopian future wants to tell us that nerds don't know what Star Trek is anymore.
Oh, I know.
Mr. Spock.
Who's Spock?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
that was weird too.
That was super weird.
It's actually pretty accurate, because ask young people today who is Spock.
Everyone knows that.
If you ask my daughter, she won't know it.
She will know who Spock is.
No.
Definitely. She will probably say Star Wars, but she will have heard that name before.
Well, they couldn't know back then,
because
in the 80s.
Mainly, of course, because of these new movies. But they were super successful.
Yeah, J.J. Abrams.
Yeah. He did that. And there was Spock in there.
Yeah, but he wasn't that famous as a series figure.
Nils?
Maria?
We're breaking up today.
Thank you for joining us.
So yeah, but the first thing that came into my mind is I watched it in English, and that was the first time I heard Arnold Schwarzenegger speak English.
Really?
Because all of his movies I usually watch in German, because it's like Terminator and stuff, and I always watch all of these 80s and 90s movies in German, because I grew up with them in German. Mm-hmm. And in Germany, he gets dubbed, so he's not speaking with his own voice.
But he has always the same speaker.
Yeah. Yeah. But so in Germany, I take him much more seriously because it's a good voice.
Yeah.
But when I heard him talk English, I was like, how can you take this guy seriously? How can you like Terminator when the guy is like talking like that?
I'll be back.
Yeah. That's so weird, because that sounds like he's making fun of himself.
It's
in Germany, he has like a super cool, nice, good, normal voice. How I like them.
But I think most people in America too have their own Arnold Schwarzenegger impression.
Yeah. And I never got them. I never. Why is he doing that?
Why is he not subbing himself?
Do you think he's like he's like pissed that he's not allowed to speak in his own language in the German movies, that he gets dubbed? In the language he's actually...
That's true, huh? Why did they never ask him?
Too expensive.
Yeah.
True.
Moving on.
The end.
I mean his German...
No, they probably ask him, but it just would German, sound shitty.
His German voice is probably better than...
I mean, he's not German, he's Austrian, we should say that, right?
Because dubbing is a different piece of work than acting. And he's not a good actor, though, especially in that... days. I think he's not that good as a dubbing guy as you might think.
But it is interesting
probably.
That he
but,
sounds
but
like a
But most
joke.
Of the German actors that perform in English, like for example Diane Kruger, they dub themselves.
Yeah, and that's a problem.
Yeah, that's totally a problem. I hate it when they do that, because they're not good at it. Mm-mm. Yeah, but that's still, this is why I thought he would also say no.
Also, Kinski dubbed himself.
Very good idea. Just screaming the whole thing through. I hate you all! Yeah, so we have this helicopter scene, and he didn't want to shoot all these people, so he got knocked out consciousness? I don't know.
Unconscious?
Knocked
unconscious.
Out.
Knocked yeah, out, yeah, knocked out. And,
KO.
And then at the end... They did shoot all the civilians, but they pretended he did it. They cut the video.
There were cameras in the helicopter filming this whole thing.
Amazing cameras. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Amazing cameras. Like everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about that later when we saw that footage over and over again. Yeah. That's like, so weird.
I mean, actually,
They didn't even like try to make it look like they were like shitty cameras.
Yeah,
it's a TV
a re-edited version of the opening.
Yeah,
not even a record frame or something.
Like that. So you can it's the helicopter camera.
No, it's like the actual footage from the helicopter we are shown later in the movie is like. It's the actual scene we just saw at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. They forgot that. But there are so many filters you could use. Yeah, whatever.
Not back then.
But the editing was impressive, the re-editing of that scene coming from reality TV.
Yeah.
They got that right.
To hell with you.
So that's kind of what we do.
So you were kind of like on the side of the studio, work.
I'll remember that.
And so so he gets into jail and grows a great beard.
Yeah.
He looks awesome with that beard.
He really
does. Why did anyone ever tell him to shave? He should have worn it forever.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I love that beard.
Yeah. He looks so way manlier and way better than ever before.
And it's dangerous.
And I don't know if he listens to this podcast.
Oh, he does.
I assume.
I love you.
But he has a weird mouth. So this beard helped.
Hmm. So maybe noticed his weird mouth.
Yes, like it's
that's a fun fact.
Yeah, only I know that. I looked up trivia, and so this is why I know that he has a weird mouth.
Maybe Ralf Möller is listening to this podcast, so he can tell him.
Yeah, that's true.
They're old buddies.
Niels has a very, very dear and good friend who is friends with Ralf Möller, and they write like on WhatsApp stuff like that.
Yeah, Gladiator.
Yeah, we all make fun of Ralf Möller all the time.
I don't know who Ralf Möller is.
No?
No.
He's a friend of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Get out.
And he appeared in all of these like Expendables and also in Gladiator, for example.
That's true.
With
Russell Crowe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like his friend Gladiator. He's like huge and blonde and no, he's not blonde.
He's
I'm
famous.
Thinking of Dolph Lundgren.
He's from Recklinghausen.
Yeah.
He used to be a Bademeister in Recklinghausen.
That's true. What's the English word for Bademeister?
Sounds like safety sodomizer.
Safety guard. Swimming pool safety guard. Like Baywatch at a swimming
lifeguard.
Pool.
Lifeguard, yeah.
Yeah, lifeguard in Recklinghausen.
Here, yeah, that's him.
Maria shows a photo to Jeff. And Jeff doesn't look as if he's impressed, nor that he knows him.
No.
Not,
great.
Not, never seen that guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's around in Hollywood a lot. I mean, you guys are from L.A. You probably walked into him at the humidor.
Isn't that the little cupboard where you put cigars? In? Yeah. Okay, cool.
But he's always there.
Yeah. Oh, yes, inside.
I ran into him at Trader Joe's once, actually.
So what we should mention is that Mick Fleetwood from Fleetwood Mac is and Dweezil Zappa, Frank Zappa's son,
and
are
Mick
in these moves.
Mick Fleetwood plays the role of Mick.
He said, guys, I'm going to do it. It's fun. I have the weekend off.
Guys, I did so much LSD in the 60s. Give me something I can remember.
Yeah, probably for the first few days on set, he had another name, but he never reacted. Like, oh, that's me. Okay. So they just decided to just name him Mick so he reacts.
This whole movie was actually a Mick Fleetwood trip.
Yeah,
he was on LSD the whole time.
It's all in his head.
Yeah, so I wanted to mention that. And so, they're in the prison and he has a little gang of friends.
18 months later.
18 months later, so
it's
we are
2019 now.
Yeah, true.
So next year.
Next year.
So now so we're in the future.
The future.
Wow, guys.
Because I think it was maybe December 2017 and then it said 18 months later.
We did the math at home.
Yeah, it's nice. Oh, yeah, and he carries around steel beams like they weigh nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a trademark of him. He does that in like 3 or 4 movies. How did this get made? Discovered that once. Like he just carries, like they assumed he has one in his backpack all the time. He just
that's what you do in prison.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
He rides it like a broom to work.
But the way he like put it down was really okay,
he just
guys.
Threw it.
Yeah.
Clearly made of styrofoam.
And then was there the scene they were like piling up bodies, right?
Where?
In prison?
Yeah, just right before we saw him in prison, like they were just guys coming like and piling up bodies on that one automobile. No,
I don't remember that.
Okay.
Oh, so just the one guy was dead, right? And they were taking off his.
But they're putting him on top of other dead people, and that was super weird. You don't remember? That was just a super short scene. No.
Maybe. The guy they're wheeling away in the wheelbarrow, and then I guess maybe they threw him on some other dead bodies.
Yeah, so it's like one had his arm and the other had his leg, and they were just carrying him and just throwing him on top of other bodies.
I only remember Arnold.
And that was weird. But they still had their heads, so it wasn't...
Arnold's beard.
I think that was just like their way of saying like this prison is supposed to be like they're all working really hard until they die.
To death.
Yeah.
And then we see Arnold with the steel beam. And then there's this like super confusing scene.
Yeah, it was confusing.
Yeah, where one tries to like remember the code.
But they put in the same code over and over and then suddenly it works after.
Yeah, yeah, that's so weird. I don't get the whole code magic here.
It only existed just to set up the fact that if you ran past that thing, your head would blow up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only reason
the
guys, code wasn't working.
Yeah, we should explain that. The guys, the prisoners have something around
collars
around their neck. And if they move past a certain point, their head explodes or the collars explode and also
similar
their
to
heads.
What they put on dogs to keep them in the yard.
Right. They explode too.
And if it's locked, their heads will explode.
Yeah. And you can type in some kind of system a code and then the system goes off and the people can walk past that point. And so they were trying to remember the code
and
put in the
code.
And it doesn't work, but it works like when they tried for the 50th time.
Yeah,
so I don't know the whole idea of the system.
No.
Also, I don't like one guy starts running because he thinks the system is off. And the other guys...
Even though everyone's yelling at him.
Yeah.
It's not off.
And they all yell at him and he's like... still running, so I don't really get it.
Yeah, but the system is like it shows green when it's off and it's red when it's activated, and they are hacking in the code, and then it turns to green for a few moments, and then this guy thinks, oh, it's unlocked, and he runs.
Yeah, I get it, but still, the people don't run,
yeah,
it's not off.
Yeah, but he's so focused on that green light,
he's
but
like,
then
it'll
suddenly
be off
turns
when
red
I get
again.
There.
Yeah. Maybe he's colorblind.
It's Chico, by the way.
Chico!
And then his head explodes, which is... And then he lies there without his head.
Right.
Cool.
That was pretty graphic.
I remember seeing that as a teenager, as a young boy.
We should say that when the producer bought the novel for the movie, he didn't know that it was Stephen King. It wasn't out there yet that it's Richard Bachman.
Yeah, I mean, that's also a thing that... I mean, how long did he... release books under the name of Richard Bachman before he said
discovered.
It's me, Stephen King.
I don't know, actually.
Because the books are still sold under the name of Richard Bachman.
That's true.
And it's, but we all know it. I mean, guys, come on.
Yeah. No, that's not the thing. He always says that... I'm a Stephen King expert, by the way. he says that he... kept the pseudonym because he writes in a different style under Richard Bachman. And so he wants the readers to know that it's a different style.
But I never got that because the Richard Bachman stories are also kind of gory, scary stuff.
I mean, it's a different writing style.
If he would have written like love romance books, I would say, okay,
true.
He takes another name.
So
but
you would allow?
No, I would understand. But I don't understand if you write kind of similar topics and stuff like that, but under a different name.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay.
What's that? I don't get it.
Okay.
Maria.
Maybe he actually has a split personality.
Yeah, the first idea was...
Yeah, but he has a split personality, but the personality
same.
Is the same.
it's his twin brother.
Just another name.
That would be super funny. No, the first idea was
they like
did
the same things.
He did that because he wanted to find out if his books would sell as well if it wasn't his name on it, if the people would know it was him. And then they found out pretty quickly. I don't know why, actually. I think I have something
probably
in my mind.
Probably because
he
told
me. It said forward by Stephen King.
No, I have something in my mind of that one of his book agents made the mistake of telling something or something like that.
Posting his picture on the back, but still said Richard Bachman. Wait a second.
But wait until
Stephen
it
King's
comes...
twin brother?
But wait until it comes out that Stephen King is J.K. Rowling.
That would be a different style of writing.
That's true.
Or like, it's fan fiction. No, but when the producer bought the book rights for the movie, he didn't know it was Stephen King. So there must have been a time, a while, where Richard Bachman really wasn't known as.
But clearly it worked because they bought this story and made a movie out of it. Yeah. So
maybe the producers were like super stupid. Never read a single book in their life or saw one or like, mm-hmm. I don't know.
That's they were also low foreheads.
Yeah.
When I was like deep into my Stephen King reading phase when I was like 13, 14, I already knew it was Richard Bachman. So it was probably not for a long time that he was Richard Bachman without telling people. No. I mean, he brings out like 4 books a month. So
yeah,
it's
how many books had he written before that under that pseudonym, do you know?
I don't know.
Okay. Moving on.
So Chico's Head.
Chico's Head.
Cool. And then they were like, the it happened. They're breaking out of the prison. And they go to the city, and the dystopian city, where it's report a family member month.
Yeah.
They said, like, the woman on the TV screen said, don't forget, guys, if you report a family member this month, you get the double the bonus. It's a report a family member month.
It did remind me of the GDR, the whole East Germany, world. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like the Stasi.
We didn't have so cool TV screens.
Yeah. It's way too crowded when you see this. Big shot, this big panorama shot of LA, mm-hmm. With all these super skyscrapers and lights everywhere and flying cars and stuff like that. It's way too crowded. Nobody wants to live there.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Oh.
Just like now.
Yeah.
And it looks like super
unrealistic. So they got that right, actually.
Yeah. And then there's, we didn't mention that before, there is some kind of the whole world is super überwacht. Supervised, I don't know.
Surveillance.
Yeah. But there's a rebel group living under the city. I don't know.
Underground.
Led by Mick.
Mick from Fleetwood Mac. And Arnie gives them some real talk.
That's true.
Like, he's not like their friend. And everyone hates him because everyone thinks he's the butcher of Bakersville. That everyone thinks.
That's true. He gets the name.
And even the rebels think that, although they know that everything is propaganda and everything just to manipulate the people, but even they know, we've seen it in the video, so you have to be like, okay, what exactly is your rebel thing like? Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Like you believe it even more?
It's true, we forgot to mention he gets the moniker the Butcher of Bakersfield after killing all those innocent people.
And then they also said, mad at him that he was a military man in the first place.
Yeah, like because police. That's why they don't trust him, because he's a policeman.
You made the world it is today. And then he's like giving them some real talk. You'll never be able to do something against it, blah, blah, blah. And then he wears a super nice yellow hat.
That's awesome, because there's a scene where he and his friends, one of them played by Yaphet Kotto, who is like for the rest of his life, Special Agent Mosley to me, from Midnight Run with Robert De Niro, because he was so excellent in that role. But in Running Man, he's one of Arnold's buddies, and the three guys get out to infiltrate whatever, ICS or something. No, they want to get away.
The main radio station.
Right. No, right? But at first, I think at first they just want to get away.
They want to get their collars off.
From the town. Yeah. Right. They want to get...
Yeah, yeah.
And they are all wearing hats as a disguise.
Yeah.
Arnold is wearing a yellow hard hat.
Bright yellow construction.
Yeah.
But hat.
To blend in.
Smaller than the usual ones.
Yeah. And he has a leather band around his hat. He has a leather band around the yellow hat. Yaphet Kotto is wearing some kind of military hat, like a colonel hat or something like that. And the other guys, they just put on hats as a disguise.
That's a disguise.
Genius.
Yeah, totally. Now I think they're channeling John Stamos a little bit.
They got that right, too, about the future.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
Like, that's if somebody wears a hat, really
nobody will recognize you anymore.
Yeah, and then they ask, what's his name? Ben Richardson? Like Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
Yes. They ask him to join them, and he says no. I'm just going away. You can do your shit. And then he goes to his brother's apartment, mm-hmm. although he thinks that it's his brother's apartment, and sees, and and then he's in there, and then the woman comes home.
Wait. Yeah. Just a few things.
Yeah, is there more? Sorry.
First of all, when he walks to the apartment, we see a shot from the outer apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Where the people are walking and going to work, and he's walking just straight through them. The people are all walking in silence. Nobody is speaking. It's a silence world. It's a silent world. Nobody is talking. And there is one guy standing at the bridge just watching traffic with his hands on his back, like super random.
Well, we should mention that art is illegal. Music is illegal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It says so in the mm-hmm. opening credits.
But she is composing.
Yeah, but for...
For the network.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So only network stuff is
and that's propaganda, basically.
There is that guy just watching the street. Nothing happens and, like, nobody's talking. And but that's important because there's a later scene which doesn't have to do anything with Ben Richardson, with Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's somewhere else.
It's another movie.
When we have that establishing shot from outside the building where she lives.
Uh-huh.
Because after that cut, we're in her apartment where she is talking to someone. And the guy with his hands on the back is still standing there watching traffic.
Really?
It's so awesome. It's so awesome. Yeah.
I didn't see it once.
Good continuity.
It's super awesome.
It's the same shot used twice.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then, let's come back to that. Schwarzenegger goes into that apartment building, and he breaks into the apartment, which he still thinks is one of his brother.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not actually breaking in.
It's more
in.
Like coming home.
Yeah, but he knows the door code.
Yes.
And the door code is 445566.
Absolutely. Unhackable.
It's like my iPhone pin.
And the thing is, because I just go a little bit fast forward, but we then learn that his brother doesn't live there anymore. He just moved out 3 months ago or something like that.
No, he was taken away.
Yeah, he was
taken away, and she took over his apartment, but she still has the same door code. Why is that?
Yeah. It's illegal to change door codes.
Yeah. It's illegal to think of numbers. He was taken away, that's true, but we never get back to that, do we?
Arnold doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's like, well, who are you?
I was thinking about, like, he would know pretty fast that it's just a woman living in the apartment because he shaved himself. And it must have been with a lady shaver.
True.
Wow, you really thought about that.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that this morning when I saw him again shaving.
But I think Schwarzenegger just watches at his beard, just looks at his beard in the mirror.
And says,
and it goes off. Back by fall fear.
Like Chuck Norris.
Yeah, Chuck Norris. And then we see the amazing workout with Captain Freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No pain, no gain.
Jesse Ventura.
Yeah. Is that this?
Future. There's two future governors in that movie, actually.
Yeah? Not true.
Jesse the Body was governor of Minnesota or something.
That's what I'm called, by the way.
Was the governor of California later on. They both got into politics after that movie. Tried to change the future from happening.
Actually, I hope right after that movie.
I was super impressed when she came home. She talked to her house like, hey, toaster, mm-hmm. coffee.
True. They mm-hmm. got that right also.
They totally got it right. It's like she had an Alexa or an Amazon Echo.
That's true.
I mean, there is some kind of foresight in that movie too nowadays.
Yeah, but you know, you always have to think about what was first, if all the things that we can do today were inspired by these movies or if the movies mm-hmm. just got it right. Who knows?
I think they just...
Chicken or the egg.
It's so few so that they just got it right by chance.
I mean, I really hope that no one gets inspired by The Running Man, to be honest.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at this Trumpian administration, it has something from that Running Man administration, like just lying and telling people lies.
Fake news,
and don't care about anything. There's some truth in that.
That's true.
Even the host of the game show, he's very...
He was a host of the Family Feud,
mm-hmm.
and people that were working there were saying in interviews after the movie that this guy actually just played himself.
Oh, yeah.
That was the exact way he was treating his people working with
him. That's the guy who killed himself, right? That's the family
is
feud
it?
Guy. I think he.
Oh, I didn't. I don't yeah. know. But after that's that was
movie. Right after the movie. Yeah.
But people were actually saying that was the exact way he behaved at work. So they were like super like, ooh, this is why he
it was,
played it actually
yeah,
pretty
it was good
okay.
casting.
Do we know what ICS stands for?
Yeah, I wondered that too.
But they never say it, don't no. they? Because yeah. the station in the movie is called ICS. It's half station, half...
international.
Yeah, half government thingy.
You I can can't...
Keep on talking.
Scream.
International Central Station.
Something like that.
International... No, international wouldn't make sense, so... Mm. In American... Inner American,
inner city, struggle.
Yeah, no, just says ICS.
No, nobody says it. That's a bummer.
It's just a word. X.
X.
Ikes.
Yikes.
So, moving on.
But did you guys know that there was a movie in Germany in the 60s, I think early 70s, which is kind of the same movie at all. It was a German television movie, which was called Das Millionenspiel, which means the Millions Game. And that was about people taking part in a television show where they can earn a million D-Mark by surviving it. And they get hunted for 3 days or something like that, and they have to survive it. And it's all set in Cologne. And,
really?
Yeah. That was, I think it was Wolfgang Menge, very pretty mm-hmm. famous writer, television writer. He also wrote Ein Herz und eine Seele. Mm-hmm. And he wrote Das Millionenspiel. This movie, in the movie, the host was Hans Rosenthal. No, Dieter Thomas Heck, a super famous host to that time in Germany. He hosted the chart show and stuff like that. And he was also the host in that movie. The thing is that after its first airing, like early 70s, at a normal time on Sunday evenings when there's normally Tatort going on, the German crime series, they aired it, and people were going nuts after that and called the television station and said, how can you have such a show going on?
They thought
because
it was
they
real.
Took it for real.
No way.
It was a huge scandal, and so the station, the WDR...
Orson Welles situation.
Yeah
the station, thing. The WDR, the WDR, had to... they kept it locked for years. They said, okay, we won't air it again ever. And they kept it locked, and some students from the Cologne Institute for Media were allowed to see it, but it was always like they had to go in there with a guard from the station, and he had to sit with them in that special room the whole time, and they were allowed to watch it, but then they had to go out and weren't allowed to take pictures or whatever.
That's
and,
crazy.
But they released it on DVD like a few years ago. They finally released it because nowadays nobody would mm-hmm. take it for real, especially because one of the killers back then was a young actor, but is today a very well-known comedian from the 80s.
Who is it?
Didi Hallervorden.
Oh, really?
No. Yeah, he's one of the killers, and he looks super mean because he has this scary face, and he works perfectly fine as a killer, but you can't take him serious nowadays because you know him from all these 80s comedies.
I wonder if Stephen King saw that movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking the whole time because it's so clearly inspired by
what
it.
What is the name again?
Das Millionenspiel. It is so much the same story. He doesn't kill the host, and it's the host isn't that evil genius like in Running Man, but still, it's like that having that show getting the people killed. It's so similar.
There were probably some news articles about that happening in Germany, and Stephen King read that article and he's like, "Ah, I should write a story about that."
Something like that.
Yeah.
Were they also criminals in that?
No, they were just greedy.
Okay.
They just wanted to have a
million.
Yeah,
that's the cover, by the way.
Das Million.
He does look
they
scary.
They wanted to have a million Deutschmark.
Oh, yeah.
It is kind of a universal story. I mean, there's so
Absolutely.
Many of those.
Like nowadays.
Is it official that like the Hunger Games are somehow based on that novel or not?
It said inspired.
Oh, they always say the Hunger Games are based on...
Oh, that's right.
Das Millionenspiel.
Like,
no, but on this other...
Yeah, like an Asian story?
Yeah, something.
Oh, yeah. What is it?
also a pretty famous name, but yeah. I can't think of it.
Battle Royale.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
That's right. So, Arnie tries to get the woman living in the apartment who is a composer for the network to help him escape by going on vacation with her.
Mm-hmm. She has a travel pass.
She has a travel pass, and at the airport, he pretends that he lost hers, and you know women.
Yeah, and she probably put it in your purse again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have to talk about his shirt. I can't get over
his voice. Yeah, and we have to talk about one more thing that happens before that. There's this usual, like, when you go to the airport, there's this huge screen where all the flights are, which is delayed, which is blah, blah, blah. And then there's the woman on the screen again saying which flights are delayed and what's happening right now. So really, like super recent information she's giving on this screen. Like, the same woman who said it's giveaway family member month. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, like, this woman has to work, like, 24/7. Like, oh, right now there's a flight 10 minutes late. We have to record that to put you on the screen.
God.
Yeah. She gives, like, super recent information on that screen, yeah. Which is super stupid.
She's virtual, of course. She's
yeah, but very they want to give us this.
Oh, maybe that's Alexa.
She's not virtual.
Maybe she is. Could have been a hologram or something.
Yeah, I think they tell us that she's something like
nowhere to find.
Something like a program, because they later have that editing skills where they can put other faces on someone and stuff like
which
that.
Is ridiculous. So, but she is giving him away. She starts screaming like, it's the butcher of Bakersfield, please help me.
By the way, how very low secured is this time?
That's true.
She has a travel pass with a what is it called? That code?
The barcode.
The barcode on
no
it.
No photo.
Yeah, and they have to scan it in order to get you through the security check.
But it's obviously not person related.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the guard is kind of like, oh, whatever, just go.
Yeah.
The line is getting long. I'm getting nervous. Yeah. Just go through.
Yeah, and also, like, I was thinking, like, what is the information behind that barcode? Absolutely. Like, is it just like, yes.
Yeah.
Pineapple.
There can't be any more information.
79 sets of pineapple.
You can't just have like a 3-digit information behind it.
Yeah. Not even her name.
It's her door code also. 445566.
Ridiculous.
Okay. No, those are numbers.
No, it just says person.
Yeah. Human.
Yeah, that was, and then she starts something like, I get travel sick, and so I'm probably going to vomit on your shirt. And he said, it won't show.
That's great. Yeah, he's wearing this very ugly Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
Great line.
I love these great shirts.
You cannot see it on the shirt.
And then, she gives him away, and he starts running. Also, not very many security guards. He can just run out on the field where
he thinks he can outrun cars.
But actually, he would be able to outrun this net that they're throwing at him, because it only goes around his upper body, and so he could have kept on running. He just decided to just throw himself down.
Yes.
And they also like wait ages until they shoot, so he could have just run in another direction or
everything,
or punch them in the face like he did when he was flying the helicopter.
And
or punch the net as it comes towards him.
And there's always like this parallel story where we're in the studio where the Running Man is produced, and the producer Damon Killian, funny name,
awesome name. We're gonna name our next child that.
is like the chef of the production, is the host too, and like is an asshole to everyone. And his power move is, and I was like, wow, this is your power move, is that between coffee sips, he gives the cup back to his assistant, which I would find super annoying, always getting, when I want to sip on my coffee again, I have to get it back from her. That was his power move. He always gave it back to her. I thought, that's the lamest power move ever. Okay, he kills people. Yeah. But
in the station, there are also some posters of other productions from ICS,
mm-hmm.
and one of them is called The Hate Boat.
Yeah, The Hate Boat, right.
I saw
that. Yeah, so, and he wants him. He saw him on TV on The Breakout, also very good material from The Breakout, by the way. And
slow motion.
Yeah, and he was running very well, and he finds him super attractive. Mm-hmm. So these are the two reasons.
Hello, gorgeous.
Yeah. That he wants him on the show because he thinks he could, like,
boost the ratings.
Yeah, boost the ratings, right? Ratings are very important. And but he's not allowed to have military people, which I found was a super unnecessary storyline because he wants them, just get him. Yeah. I mean, it didn't change anything. Yeah, he was like, yeah, get me on the phone with the military, with the Minister of Justice or something.
No, but the entertainment department of the Justice
Department. Because super comfy. Yeah, right. And then it's in the contracts that they're not allowed to take military people, which I thought,
that makes sense.
Why is that even something that we have to think about? Because it didn't.
And then the movie ended, actually. That was, that was the end of the original story.
Oh, really? Yeah, then forget
That's
it.
Where the book
we
ends.
We go back to the teacher.
That's where the book ends, and then they had to figure out the rest of the story.
Do you know the movie The Mist? That's also from Stephen King, based. Mm-hmm. And he said he was super angry because they had a slightly different ending than he had, and he was super jealous because he said it was a much better ending, he wished he would have thought of that for his book.
That's awesome. Good for him. Admitting.
The ending of the book is kind of like a non-ending, right? There's no like resolution or anything, right?
I never read it.
I forget, but
Maria read everything.
Yeah, I don't want to give it away, actually, because I'm thinking...
It's been long enough.
I mean, we spoil... Yeah, you know, I don't want to give away the Bible.
Everyone dies.
Yeah, I don't want to fuck it up. I think he was in a car and did shoot his kid and himself. That's the book ending.
Does he kill himself? Oh. Mm-hmm.
So that's what you understand as an open end.
No, I don't think he killed himself at all. I don't remember that.
But is he really dead? I mean, he shot in his head, but can you be sure?
And then
let's read the book right now. Hang on.
And I think
one.
in the movie, the mist goes away, and then we see the army coming helping right just after he shot the kid.
Yeah.
And in the book, they don't come. So it's open in that way.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Okay.
So it's much more shitty in the movie because if help he would have waited like 30 seconds more and he didn't shoot the kid, then the help would have been there. And in the book, it's open.
Yeah.
Guys.
Oh, yeah?
I'm serious.
So if you're ever in a situation where you have to shoot yourself and your kid, it's just think of like the... It's like the airplane thing.
Yeah.
Do your own oxygen mask first. Shoot yourself first.
Yeah.
Then
shoot the kid?
No, then let your kid worry about shooting himself. It's his problem.
Or just scream hi. Or
hello?
Is there someone before you just go?
Anybody out there in the mist? Yeah.
Just someone's just saving us.
Yeah.
He gets prepared for the Running Man experience. He gets a lot of super loud injections. And that makes weird sounds.
Yeah, I think he does do his own dubbing when it comes to his noises.
Yeah.
all these injections don't make any sense.
No,
at all.
I didn't get what that was for. I thought it was some kind of tracking things that they like inject them, but it wasn't. So I don't know why we had to see that.
I think one of them was supposed to be tracking, but they didn't really use it.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And then he got a lot of injections and like, let's get him ready.
There's just tetanus and the latest flu shot just to make sure he's healthy.
I mean, you never
checking
know.
Checking his teeth.
Traveling.
He's got a cavity here.
And then he was like, they gave him all the shots on this and like, it was obviously very painful, these shots.
There's one in the hand that was
That was weird.
Acupuncture in the 80s.
And then they put him back in the cell and then they made him unconscious with some kind of gas. Where I thought like, you had him just lying right there, guys.
Absolutely,
why do you have to bring him back unconscious then?
That really doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Or at all. What?
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't make any sense.
Why knock him out?
Yeah. Nothing.
But maybe
of
these
that
injections
makes sense.
Were just kind of a folter or something like that.
He had it. No. I don't think so. And then Amber, the woman from the apartment who gave him away, gets her first doubt because she sees on the television on the news that Richards supposedly shot two people when he entered the airport, and she was like,
hey, that's not true.
Yeah, like, oh, I have to speak that out loud so the dumb audience
knows
will understand that
knows that I'm smart.
Yeah. That's not true. And then
that conversation with her friend, though, in the hallway. God, you're so low. How did you survive that? Like, he could have raped you and,
yeah,
and then killed you.
Down.
Or killed you and then raped
yeah,
you.
Yeah, he could have killed you. Or raped you and killed you. Or killed you and raped you. And he was like, okay, she's into it.
Yeah. What's happening? Yeah, exactly. She's like, I'm going to go masturbate in the break room. Yeah.
But, but the best thing about that dialogue was that they stood in front of a vending, of a
oh,
Coke
yeah.
vending machine.
$6.
And she was like, the Coke is $6. I mean, yeah. What kind of fucking future is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Forget
That's
it.
True. Yeah.
Forget it. Come on. Get the hell out of here.
Cadre Coke.
Yeah. Cater Coke. Yeah,
yeah, whatever that
yeah.
is.
Oh, yeah.
And then out
Which
of...
Is cadre,
but it was so funny because they had this this invented Coke, like Cater Coke, but there was also normal Coke in the vending machine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They ran That's out of stupid. Props.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Put two of them in
there. And Cater Coke was the second. The first
no
was
No one
Coke.
Will watch this movie
That's
anyway.
That's the real dystopian future for, yeah. for Coke. Cadre Coke moves in on their market.
No Pepsi. Pepsi Whoa. Is gone, no. but there is Cadre Coke.
There's actually a very lively discussion on the internet what ICS means, and a lot of people say that the C definitely stands for Cadre because that was kind of involved
or
in everything.
I can't shit.
Yeah,
International Cadre Station.
International can't shit.
Hang on.
But I was really shocked. That was maybe, that was the biggest horror for me in that movie.
Oh,
$6 for a can of Coke.
Yeah.
That was the biggest horror for you?
That really shook me to the bone.
If you go to any airport, that's kind of...
That's basically the reality.
Yeah, they got
reality.
That right, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
The price of Coke.
But it wasn't at the airport. It was in the station, in the TV station.
That's true.
The people are working there. What kind of working conditions are that?
I have a question. Because you guys work in a TV environment... And it's all the talking about points. Like, they need to have a bigger audience, right?
Oh, ratings.
Ratings. Uh-huh. How are they supposed to really, like, count the ratings when they just install huge screens on the streets and everyone watches on the streets?
Yeah, there's no other channel, really. What else are they watching?
So I don't really get it.
She once changes the station.
The other station is just looking at traffic with that other guy at the bridge. <It's> That's the competition.
Yeah, it's their version of Bob Ross. Like. No, that was, I was just really thinking about it. When you just install all the screens outside and everyone can just watch in the streets, how will you ever supposed
but
to know
just
the
like public viewing of
yeah.
the
yeah,
World
there
Cup?
Were just the homeless watching in the streets. I mean, the most people, we saw
people
all
that,
the,
that don't matter anywhere, you mean?
We saw all the people in their apartments watching the show together.
True, like, it looked like the ratings were fine. It didn't look like they were having any problems with the ratings, so the whole premise is flawed.
I mean, the rating counting is still some...
Is it the same than Germany? Like they just
mystery
like,
thingy
supervise like 1,200.
Yeah, it's the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's crap. Nielsen. It's not representative.
No.
Representative.
And they don't include online either.
Right.
You would think they would just take from the German model where you have to pay for it anyway. You have no choice, and that would be their system.
Yeah, but it's not.
Let's rewrite this
but
movie.
But we still have ratings.
Okay. Never
mind. Private.
No.
Yeah, we have.
It's complicated.
It's very
and
complicated.
Boring. And boring. Let's not forget that. So he has a kind of a. He gets like an agent for half an hour, who goes through with him through the contract.
Yeah, but that was appointed.
But that was
agent.
Funny because it was kind of a Pflichtverteidiger.
Yeah.
But they make fun of themselves a lot.
Instead of getting a lawyer, you get an agent.
Yeah,
I think that was funny.
And then he reads out to him the whole contract. And then at the end, he even has to sign it and then puts the pen in the back of the agent.
That was a very good joke, I thought.
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
He's like, here, you can use my back to sign it.
Yeah.
Arnold just stabs him right in the back with the pen.
And then he can't reach it.
And
then I found it so funny that the guards
don't do anything. Like, it was pretty good, yeah. The agent just runs off defeated.
This guard is weird anyway. First of all, they have one guard. Sven is his name. And Sven is always weird. Like, I felt like he's like the best friend of the producer or something. And he just finds it all funny. Like, I'm just going to stand here.
Yeah.
They pay me anyway. Because, so the whole movie, he never reacts the way you would imagine he as a guard paid from this thing reacts. I always thought that he's maybe part of the rebellion or something. Because he was always like not really
interesting,
reacting guard like.
Yeah.
You know, like violent, or he never touches really. He never really touches people, and always just stands there and finds it all funny.
Maybe he's a germaphobe.
So where are we? Oh yeah, she Amber, who has doubts, goes
into the basement to look for the files. Yeah.
So she knows that there's a weird basement with files in there that I found very weird. And then he finds the raw footage of the
Bakersfield incident.
Yeah. And
Before she can even look at it, she's just captured.
Yeah. By whom? We don't know, right?
Sven? By a hand.
Sven.
Yeah.
Sven's by hand.
Sven. And probably in the next scene with her is that she's already a thorn into the game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So first we have that the show begins, the crowd is happy, everyone is placing bets or whatever, and all the choreography, by the way, was choreographed by Paula Abdul.
Nice.
And she was the number one choreographer back in the 80s. She did like all music videos. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that. And so the show starts, and everyone's excited, and he gets a really nice Adidas suit with a big Adidas logo on it.
Mm-hmm.
And
German
also,
company.
Yeah. And also his friends have to go down with him because he decided to do it just under the premise that his friends don't have to do it. But they all are thrown in some kind of an area where they get stalked or hunted. And it's they have like to survive as long as they can.
Where the big earthquake hit in 90.
True.
Oh.
True.
Oh, they say that. I was actually asking myself, what kind of area is that?
It's Los earthquake. Angeles.
And they did guess it almost right, because there was a big earthquake in 94.
Eh? Really? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's scary. But
they said 97.
So,
idiots.
So the stalkers are kind of famous. It's like wrestling people, basically. And the stalkers are people who have, like, also like wrestling, certain looks and styles and ways to kill the
criminals.
Yes, the criminals. And we have Dynamo, for example, who kills people with electric shock,
mm-hmm.
who is actually, by the way, an opera singer. So all the singing, this actor did himself.
Oh, nice.
And we have the fireman. I don't know what that bus saw.
Fireball.
Yeah, fireball. We have bus saw. And the
first guy,
Sub-Zero.
Professor
Sub-Zero. Exactly. And in the end, non-zero.
He has a college degree.
Yeah. And this basically also is a movie that is just put together out of one-liners.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right? Great. It's classic Arnold with his one-liner jokes.
And is I'll Be Back actually from that movie?
No. Terminator was like 5 years before this.
Really? Yeah. Okay, good. Okay, I wasn't sure.
I'll be back, yeah.
Because the trivia, there's like a lot of trivia, and one trivia was just, in quotation marks, I'll be back. And I said, what kind of trivia is that? I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
So I thought that means that he said for the first time, but it
wasn't. That slide that they used to go down to this other world looked like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very fast.
He probably has it in his contracts that for sometimes he had to say that sentence, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
We probably wasn't able of many more sentences, so they just put it in.
No. So, but then he kills the first stalker, Sub-Zero, Professor Sub-Zero, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone reacts as never before was a stalker killed.
Yeah.
It was
one of their heroes. Weird. Yeah.
Because I thought like some of them made it allegedly through, mm-hmm. some of the runners.
True.
But without killing them, just running away from them, obviously.
Yeah, which is weird. How do you get away from them?
Yeah, I don't know.
If you don't kill them.
I thought like killing them and then opens the door and not like if you run fast enough and there's a door.
I reach the gate first. Oh, damn it.
Yeah, right. And then there's this plane waiting for you and stuff like that. I mean, we now know that didn't happen. But the whole idea is I thought that if you kill many stalkers.
True.
But I was also a bit shocked that they instantly killed him. Like, there wasn't any other way. I mean, they're the good guys. Aren't they supposed to let everyone live? And, always in the movies. But it wasn't like that. It was a tough fight. So they just had to kill him.
Yeah. I don't know. I think in
he's
the 80s...
He's a butcher in Bakersfield.
I think in the 80s it was fine to kill
yeah, because
the enemy.
Someone who was trying to kill you. Self-defense.
Yeah.
Because they tried to establish him as the guy who doesn't kill other guys. But
that's
then
true.
He was like so cold-blooded killing the guy with some, what is it called? Stacheldraht.
Yeah, barbed wire.
Yeah, barbed wire around his neck, which is kind of a pretty tough way of killing someone.
Yeah, also because he doesn't do it later with Dynamo.
True.
Saying like, I don't just kill people.
Defenseless.
Defenseless people.
Yeah.
Even if they're sadistic assholes like you are. So I was like, they obviously have to the script decided. Yeah, you're right. And he also like does it as if it's fun for him, like with the one-liners and everything. So
I mean, even the buzzsaw kill is pretty tough.
Yeah, he said, where's buzzsaw? He had to cut it.
In English, he had to split.
Split? Oh, I thought he had cut it. Yeah.
But the one for Sub-Zero was horrible. He's like, here's Sub-Zero. Now it's just plain Zero.
Yeah!
I think that's the best he could come up with.
I think
should
it was.
Should just kept it to himself.
Yeah, but the whole city is in mourning because Sub-Zero was killed. Everyone's super shocked that that is possible.
But that reminds me on Last Boy Scout with Bruce Willis, where in the very, I think it's in the very, no, it's not in the last scene, but in one scene, Bruce Willis says to, I think it was Damon Wayans, he says to him, it's the 90s, man. You can't kill anyone just like that. You have to say a cool line.
Yeah. What year exactly did that movie come out? This year?
31 years ago.
I think it's 87.
I was going to say 87.
So yeah, now Amber joined the group. The group is pretty dumb too. Everyone is just running wherever. Nobody listens to each other. No one is like, let's look around that corner before we run there.
Yeah.
They also, the two guys who are with Arnold, they're kind of like part of the resistance. They discover that
they wanna,
some kind of transmitter that they could never locate.
They jam the network.
Before was actually in the game. That's why they could never find it before, because it was in this zone where they played the game. Like,
so that is all already like a typical 80s nonsensical thing, that there is something where you have to go to a place where not even the enemy goes, where you can find the code to the whole system.
Yeah,
which is super weird.
Yeah,
but I thought it was clever that they had a mission. Well, they were not like running away and trying to escape. They actually had something to do.
Yeah, that's true, but it would have been nice if the whole group was supposed to.
Yeah,
like Arnie was always like, no, let's not do this, let's just try to get out of here and stuff, and it was like, and the girl was just screaming and everyone was so dumb.
Well, he wasn't interested in their cause at first, and then, you know, it wasn't executed really well, but then like then he had this switch where he was like, no, I'm going to interested in this cause and fight
because,
for the
because
resistance.
I think because of the wise guy who died that was, I think he because the black guy said don't let him die for nothing.
Yeah.
And then he was like, okay, now I have to jam the network.
And by the way, they also put her to his group in the meantime, because they caught her stealing this raw material. And then they instantly put her also as a running woman into the game. And she... the two friends of Arnold got silver suits. Arnold got a golden suit, and she also got a golden suit.
Oh, interesting.
You think so?
Just to let you know.
Yeah. Silver, second place. They died.
Right.
But let's talk about the name of the movie is Running Man. So, and they said also that Arnold was a pretty fast runner. They set that up in the escaping video. So, and if you see all the stalkers, they would have actually gotten away by running, because none of the stalkers, they were all fat and all super slow. They could have just run away from them, but they just didn't do it.
Yeah, he actually outran the car.
Yeah, he could have outrun them easily. And even the others who weren't trained, because all the stalkers were like in super heavy gear,
Gladiator battle.
So I don't get that.
Very slow.
I mean, it would have been a super boring movie then.
I mean, even Fireball, the one with the flamethrower and jetpack, he uses the jetpack to get down in the area,
but never
uses it again. Because after that, they're just in very tight hallways, stuff like that, where a jetpack is for by no use at all. So very good having a jetpack over there, dude.
I liked when the other friend of his died. I like that he said, "I don't want to be the only asshole in heaven." I like this line.
You're gonna have it on your tombstone.
Yep. So basically, they killed the first three stalkers, right?
Yeah. Sub-Zero.
Sub-Zero. No, they didn't
kill
Dynamo.
Dynamo. And Buzzsaw.
Which will come back to them.
The audience is losing their minds in the studio.
And Amber discovers that the apparent, like, the winners, the Running Man winners from the from the season before, which is super weird. Why are these mummies lying down there? I mean, you could have, like, get rid of them any way.
There's no cleanup crew.
Yeah, right.
Why did they mummify? And the third is everything is filmed because the whole thing is broadcasted, but the moment where the fireman says they're not last season's winners but then last season's losers, so basically admits everything, this is not broadcasted. But then a second later when he gets fired up, it's broadcasted again. How
it's
are these
confusing
rules with the cameras? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Because if you are down there...
Look, it's a dystopian world. They only have a little bit of time to edit this stuff and get it out there to the public, okay? Some bad choices were made, okay? The point is, they got the message out.
I just find it so funny that... That
would have been a good scene. Like, what, should I add him?
It was probably during the commercial break.
And he knows that because he has some kind of, like...
No, but it was...
But he got, like, fired up in the same room than the last year's winners were.
Mm-hmm.
So you shouldn't film in there. So that the audience out there doesn't know that these guys are...
They don't recognize them.
You're overthinking it.
Yeah.
Like,
they don't look like...
You mean, I think...
Stop thinking.
They don't look like they did.
But they have their names on their tags.
Yeah, but the people won't see it through the television screen. Maria.
Yeah. So... Captain Freedom is finally called to the game and he like gets himself up with some kind of weird pill and a photo from himself in the locker room.
By the way,
great locker room party, by the way.
Yeah. And by the way, the people in the audience, when they choose who the running men have to fight against next, because the people are allowed to choose it, in the end, a woman says Ben Richardson will win, who is like Schwarzenegger. And they, no, you can't choose him. And she says, but he'll win.
Yeah.
But all the people who are choosing gets a lot of gifts from the host.
True, the Running Man home version.
And there's always the Running Man board game with it. And I really want to have that board game. It looks so cool.
It is probably buyable. What I found so interesting is that, so they escape, they killed the fire guy, and they escape into like some weird back room of a who knows what, and then they're with the rebels.
Yeah, they even said that.
Yeah.
Arnold's like pointed out the plot hole.
Yeah.
You've been here the whole time, and now you're just telling us?
Yeah. Why didn't you come save us earlier? And he said, they would have seen us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Saying, but this is the place where your rebel base is? Like, if you come far enough in the game, it's like an Easter egg in the game.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But yeah, they're... And I was actually confused too for a moment, because they're saved, and then with some technical stuff, they put... Arnold's and Amber's faces on other people and pretend on screen like Dr. Freedom,
Photoshop.
Captain Freedom is killing them.
Yeah.
In
some kind of a weird arena.
They didn't want to seem like they lost to the stalkers.
Yeah, but they know the stalkers are still out there, so that was so weird.
But that was off camera, basically.
Yeah. But that effect we see in the editing room where they key the new faces on the bodies, that looks pretty cool, I think.
Yeah.
Looks pretty realistic. And realistic,
that's
unrealistic.
That's
I like
true.
That.
Effect. I like that too. I always like the computer versions that are supposed to be in the future.
Yeah.
They still look
that's always fun. Because that's always the stuff that looks oldest.
Yeah.
Even the early version of their internet. Remember when he orders the plane tickets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called the ICS InfoNet.
Yeah.
It's just big boxy TV with like a keyboard on top of it. Yeah. It's like, oh, California. Let's go there.
Yeah, and there, what I like, the thing that rebels were always after is this uplink code. Yeah. And so they're with the rebels, and everyone's like super excited that, like, also, like, and she says just out of the blue, it wasn't for nothing. I have the uplink code, and no one reacts. No one, like, And then they watch the screen.
Why is there
again.
A woman in here?
Yeah. What's happening? The next thing that anyone reacts to is like something, blah, 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 Mr. Spock. And then this nerd says, who's Mr. Spock? And I said, she just said she has this thing that you always wanted to have. And everyone's like, Oh, look at that screen. There's things happening. I found that so weird. And then, they have this uplink code, and then they think about, like, he wanted, Mick Fleetwood wanted to give a speech to the people and telling them the truth, and she said, I have something far better, the raw material of the Bakersfield.
But she smuggled it down there somehow.
Oh, yeah. There was that joke. Where were you keeping that the whole time?
Yeah.
None of your business.
And everyone's like, she likes butt stuff.
But where did she keep it? It was like,
And, but then...
Let me smell your fingers.
And then 10 minutes later, or like 10 seconds later, they broadcast the raw material, but already have edited it into a trailer. Like with material of the mummies and of everything. Where do they have that from?
They're really good editors.
Yeah, they're fast.
They're reality TV
fast editors. The Resistance has the best editors.
Yeah. That was great. And everyone like...
And now the people see the reality. They see that the butcher isn't a butcher at all, that he was a good guy. We, as the viewer, knew the whole time. So he's...
But the audience is as dumb as ever, because also it doesn't question the second thing they get shown. Because I would be like, okay, the first thing was fake. Obviously fake. So why do I believe
they
the second
easily
thing?
Easily believed the second
everything.
Version.
Yeah. They're like just, there's something different, so it must be true. I mean, it is.
But then, I mean, the last proof they need is that then the studio army starts to randomly shoot into the audience.
Yeah, that's true.
They become part of the show.
Yeah, that's true.
Everyone has to run away. Yeah. And Arnold takes over the studio.
Yeah, and then Arnold has this,
rescuing
like,
all these people.
Last talk with the evil guy. Mm-hmm. And then also Sven again. Super weird Sven.
Mm-hmm. Secret star
you
of the show.
This the classic showdown scene between the two muscle guys, and he's just like, "I'm gonna go get some steroids."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, what? I mean, guys, seriously, why was Sven there, and why was he called Sven? I think there's something going on. That's the star for me of the show. That's definite. And so, the host, the evil host, Damon Killian. Gets onto one of these like little bob slide thingies and gets shoot into the
arena.
Billboard.
In a way longer,
and like, very drive. Fast.
Yeah, it's
somehow
face.
It's faster.
Yeah, somehow it's faster and longer.
They poured some oil down there first,
and then he flies into a paper billboard, which explodes, which makes totally sense because paper explodes.
I thought
paper
is very flammable. I thought about that.
Yeah.
But you see before these bobs start to get down the slide that they have some kind of rocket engine. Yeah, they always have to start this rocket engine. So I was really thinking about a billboard wouldn't explode, but there may be some hard wall or something like that behind the billboard.
So the rocket explodes.
So the rockets explode. The whole bob explodes.
Uh-huh.
I understand. I don't believe it.
Fan theory.
Yeah.
I really thought about that.
Please write a fan fiction about that.
Yeah, and then it turns...
Maybe it gets...
And it becomes Twilight.
No, yeah, it becomes...
Fifty Shades of Grey was the fan fiction of Twilight.
Yeah. It only takes place in the 30 seconds of that ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That story.
Yeah. But it's a two-part movie. 6 hours.
Hey, low for it.
Yeah, so we at the end of the movie, everyone's safe, like the people we care about at least. Nobody knows where Arnie's brother is.
Yeah, he
still
doesn't even care.
No, nobody cared. I think Sven is fine.
Sven is fine.
Yeah, and Arnie gets a kiss from a girl, and I think they didn't have any love chemistry at all, actually, throughout the movie. That kiss came like from
because it had to.
Yeah, it had to, and I was like, yeah, of course they kiss, but it didn't like...
No.
It not, you know, like the scene a typical scene would have been like in that area, in that Running Man area, that they sit behind this, like this quiet moment because they wait for something and they have this like
moment.
Yeah, like this romantic moment or something, but that never happened. Or they were just like, they hate each other basically up until the end. And then she has a weapon in a sense and he falls in love. So that's basically it.
He gets a boner.
Yeah. And then they kiss and then the movie's over.
But it's not over yet. Two things with the very end of the movie, and I'm speaking about the credits. First, there is a song from Harold Faltermeyer performed by John Parr, Running Away With You, it's called. And I will tell you the lyrics at the very end of this podcast because they're listen-wise.
Will you sing it for us?
No, I will just recite it.
Take the ukulele and sing it for us.
But there's also one other thing. At the very, very end, after the song and the credits still rolling, is kind of a commercial. A Running Man commercial.
Oh, really?
Just an acoustic. But in the English version, they really have like having it the feeling as if it's from this ICS station. Uh-huh. He's like, the Running Man has been brought to you by Breakaway paramilitary uniforms, OrthoPure, procreation pills, and Cardricola. It hits the spot. Promotional considerations paid for by Kelton flamethrowers, Wainwright electrical launchers, and Hammond and Cage chainsaws. Damon Killian's wardrobe by Chez Antoine, 19th century craftsmanship for the 21st century man. Cater trooper and studio guard sidearms provided by Colchester, the pistol of patriots. Remember, tickets for the ICS studio tour are always available for Class A citizens in good standing. Mm. If you'd like to be a contestant on The Running Man, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to ICS Talent Hunt, care of your local affiliate, and then go out and do something really despicable. I'm Phil Hilton. Good night and take care.
Man muss einen Brief schicken.
Self-stamped.
So that's what's in the English version at the very end, which is kind of a last joke. One for the way.
Aber auch wirklich in die Zukunft gedacht. Really thought into the future with the envelope.
Right.
I like the envelope part.
Yeah. Mm. But in the German version, there is the announcer's voice, and he says, "That was The Running Man. Thank you for watching. If you liked it, bring your daughter, your wife, or your mother-in-law, or give 10 marks to the next homeless guy and let him watch this movie in the cinema."
What?
Really? It's so awful. It is so fucking awful. It has nothing to do with the movie. It's just plain awful.
Idealist
crap.
To the
crap.
Next homeless guy.
Let him watch this movie.
They clearly didn't understand the joke.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Oh, by the way, Arnie said he was super disappointed with the choice for the director because there were larger directors in when he said yes. Because the director before had only made stuff like episodes from Miami Vice and stuff. And he was like, he didn't think that a director like that could really point out all the society critical things in this book and in this script. He was like,
said Arnie?
Yeah. But he also said in every interview, he doesn't blame the director. He was really nice. It was a nice guy and stuff, but the choice was wrong. It should have been someone who's like more experienced and could have really brought out the critic in society.
Yeah. I think I read that he was like the fourth director
or
something.
Yeah, he was the fourth.
The first one sounded really good. It was, I think his parents had survived the Holocaust.
But he wanted to place the whole thing in a mall. And the producer
for the 1%.
And the producer didn't want that.
Well, no, the 1% lived in this mall. And then the Hunger Games took place in the wilderness.
Ah, okay.
But, for some reason it didn't. Oh, it went over budget. They're like, no, I think they did the budget and it was $27 million. They're like, no, we need to do it for $18 million. And in the end, it still cost $24 million. So who knows what we could have we could have gotten.
Well, we got the Hunger Games later, so
true.
We saw it. Yeah, so Arnie was disappointed with the choice of the director, but not with the director. He liked the guy, but he wasn't good.
Miami Vice was a good show.
Did you like the movie, guys?
I hadn't seen it since I was a teenager, and I thought, oh, it's probably going to be stupid and not hold up. But I didn't even realize that it took place in 2017. And all that. I was like, oh, really? Wow, that's cool. And it still held up, and I was surprised with like how relevant some of the stuff still was.
Mm-hmm.
The fake news and this Trump-like host.
being in charge of everything.
Just loud. Just be loud and the people will believe you. Just scream.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they did still say something about... there was something in there about, like, it's not really... It was like the audience's fault, kind of, because they so easily switch their allegiance.
Yeah, we saw that when they started voting for Ben Richardson.
Exactly.
But just because it was more likely that he would get the next guy. Not because they, like, actually really liked him or believed him. They only started believing him when they saw the trailer that they got.
Right.
And also the rebels, I mean, they also worked with these low... things like manipulating stuff in the trailer, like just flashing pictures of these dead guys and stuff.
Yeah,
you know. So they used the same tools, like the network.
Right.
So they went better. Everyone's just very like the mass people that are masses are so stupid.
That was the main message.
Yeah,
and that still hasn't changed. That's obviously
true. Many people are stupid.
That was the message that took the masses to the movies, to watch the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it reminds me. I read about another director who was... his idea was that, like, it was kind of like 4D. Like, there were supposed to be moments of, like, in the movie where, like, a stewardess would come in and, like, offer the audience whatever. Yeah. And then he wanted, like, in every theater, actual stewardesses to come down the hall. And, like, the movie would stop. And like they would give you actual snacks and whatnot, and it was like it's like meta, but obviously they're like
it's kind of cool. Oh. That reminds me on the second Gremlins when the Gremlins in the movie suddenly burn the movie,
and then Hulk Hogan
yells you just at see them. Their shadows on the screen. That was well made.
I mean, you could still do that in like certain theaters for like how we all did the Rocky Horror Picture Show. In the outdoor. I don't know if you ever did that.
Yeah, that's right. You used to do that a lot, right?
I did that, yeah.
Well, I think it still works, Running Man. It looks a bit trashy, but it's still entertaining. And
I mean, the one-liners. I was just asking myself if the one-liners in the 80s were just cool, because we find them somehow funny and ridiculous. But did they... think that too in the 80s?
No, the thing is they don't make movies like that anymore. But today to people, one-liners seem embarrassing. I mean, the modern actors generation is not that capable of one-liners. They are not able to tell them that nonchalant like they did back in the days. Maybe Vin Diesel is one of the last who's like able of doing it, pretending that he doesn't care. But
he doesn't care.
But all the other actors can't do it anymore. Yeah. And I really miss it because it is kind of entertaining.
Yeah, no one is ironic anymore.
Good,
everyone's so super serious.
Very serious. Yeah, they take themselves very serious. Yeah.
And even action movies nowadays are more like the modern... trend in action movies is not that much of
like
grotesque.
Mission Impossible, you have the funny sidekick, but the main guy is super serious.
But even the funny sidekick, I mean, even in Mission Impossible, Simon Pegg isn't that funny anymore. He always comes to the point where he gets tough into the action. And modern action movies are more like this revenge shit, like this Liam Neeson grumpy old revenge dude. Yeah. But this funny one-liner, I say something, then I kill you stuff, isn't happening that much anymore.
Fast and Furious.
Superhero movies.
Yeah, maybe.
What about those?
Dreadpool.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
No.
And Fast and Furious. I love the...
And Triple X. Don't forget Triple X.
Oh, yeah, Triple X. I don't know if Vin Diesel knew that there were different movies. Because that's basically the same movie. His role is the same.
I love Vin Diesel.
I love Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel at The Rock.
And his Instagram. Oh, he's so... What was the interview?
Maybe they make a Running Man remake with Vin Diesel.
What was the interview? What did he say? Is this what Beautiful Land?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that would be cool if they would make a Running Man remake with Vin Diesel or maybe The Rock. No, Vin Diesel would suit much better.
Yeah.
There was an article in 2014 where Arnold, hinted at a Running Man sequel, but
oh, really?
I guess nothing ever came of it.
Yeah, no one, like Arnie can't run anymore.
Right? Exactly. It would be too similar though to
now the Arnie's the host.
He could be a stalker.
Right.
Just saying. Just saying. Okay, guys, let's wrap it up. Thank you for being here.
That Thank was you for fun. Having us.
Yeah, that was really
super
fun.
Super fun movie.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for being here and to our listeners.
Yes.
Tell us how you liked this episode in not our mother's tongue.
Yeah, so have a nice week, have a nice day, wherever you listen to. Write us on Twitter at vimafavec or an email vimaf@pudatis.de and we'll be happy to not answer you. So
wir freuen uns immer, wenn ihr uns schreibt.
Ja, das stimmt. Also bis nächste Woche. Ciao.
And now we end this episode with me reciting the lyrics of the end credit song of Running Man.
Okay.
Nice. And be sure there isn't one random part in that lyrics. It's very well written. It's very
straight.
He really had a message he wanted to get out. So it's not like just phrases or something like that. This is no game. Standing in the dark. I swear I heard you calling my name. And now that things have changed. No pain, no gain. Something in your eyes. Just told me that this nightmare would end. And I have found a friend. Shouting from the highest steeple, let it out to all the people. Playing on the loudest speaker, burning like the highest fever, you hit the right spot. No more lonely nights with a restless heart. Roll the dice, make a brand new start. Read the words and you got shattered. You and me were old and battered. Just one way I'm going to lose this restless heart, running away with you. Human again, I'll take you in my arms and hold you till the fear is over and now the race is won. Shouting from the highest steeple, it out to all the people. Eine letzte Zeile noch. There's a new horizon that we're both heading to. It's out there in the distance and it's playing out to running away.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm in tears.
If you want to know how to woo a woman...
Yeah.
Just steal that.
Yeah.
I will.
And I think it's fine. You can steal that, actually.
No one will know where it's
from. No. There's no copyright. Everyone said, no, no. Just take it.
Take it and run. I didn't write that.
Okay, guys.
Shouting from the highest steeple. Goodbye.
Bye.
I'll be back.
Bye.